Today, we find ourselves standing right in the middle of Advent. It is the third Sunday, which the church has traditionally called Gaudete Sunday. That's a Latin word that simply means rejoice. It is a day defined by the command to find joy, right? Yeah. But this morning, let's be honest for a moment. I know you look scared when I said, let's be honest. Where do we actually find this joy? The world tells us joy is found in the noise, the parties, the shopping, and the perfect family photos might be. But paradoxically, this Sunday compels us to focus on a figure who never speaks a single word in the Gospels. His name is, Joseph of Nazareth. Think about the contrast. While the word is loud, Joseph is quiet. While we often seek the spotlight and the credit, he seeks the shadows. We overlook him, yet it is his journey that teaches us that true Christian joy is found on the other side of disrupted obedience. At this morning, we are going to trace Joseph's quiet transformation. We are going to watch how he moves from fear and uncertainty to immediate radical submission. And doing so, we might just find the path to joy ourselves. Okay, now let's move on to today's scripture. I'm gonna read Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 19. It says, this is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break the engagement quietly. To understand Joseph, I think we have to understand his character. Joseph was a man of stability and order. Matthew introduced him with a single but very weighty word. He said he was a righteous man. In the context of the first century, this means he was just, a man of covenant fidelity who was deeply committed to the Mosaic law. Basically, Joseph was a rule follower in the best possible sense. He was a good man, but certainly his predictable world is upended. He discovers Mary is pregnant during their betrothal. Now, in Jewish culture, betrothal wasn't just a dating with a ring. It was legally binding. This placed Joseph in an impossible moral dilemma. Under the law of Moses, specifically Deuteronomy chapter 22, Mary's pregnancy looked like a clear-cut adultery. The law required judgment. It demanded exposure, which could lead to public disgrace, or, in the strictest interpretation, even stoning. So what does a righteous man do? Joseph, balancing his righteousness with mercy, comes up with what we might call the optimal human solution. The scripture says he resolved to divorce her quietly. He decided to act privately, prioritizing Mary's dignity over his own sense of justice. Why don't we pause and think about how countercultural that is for us today? I think we live in an age so easy that loves exposure, right? We see it in the news and on the social media. They call it cancel culture that demands public shaming for every infraction. Joseph models the antidote to the toxicity of our society. True holiness chooses mercy and protection over public humiliation. But there's a twist. As novel as Joseph's plan was, it had a fatal flaw, don't you think? It was very compassionate, right? But it was purely human. It was an attempt to manage the chaos and minimize risk. I think here is the scary reality. If Joseph had succeeded in his quiet divorce, he would have terminated his role as Jesus' legal father. He would have unintentionally obstructed God's messianic plan to have Jesus born into the line of David. I think this teaches us a hard lesson. Human righteousness, no matter how well-intentioned, inevitably fails to provide the deep joy the human spirit craves. Sometimes our good enough plan is the enemy of God's best plan. I think Joseph thinks he has it all figured out, right? But God loves to interrupt our plans, do you think? I think so. I think last time I just a little bit shared about my journey, and then so many part of my life, even though I just live a little short, but he jumped in my life, and then he changed so many ways, something I never expected. I'm sure yours too, right? If I give you the microphone today, would you tell your story? I think we need a month. Joseph thinks he has it all figured out, but God loves to interrupt our plans. Let's keep reading in the Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 to 23. It says, "As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. 'Joseph, son of David,' the angel said, 'do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet: 'Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel,' which means God is with us." That disruption arrives in a dream. While Joseph is agonizing over his decision, God intervenes. Joseph's logic had reached its limit when confronted with divine mystery. The command is very specific: "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife." Why did he need to hear "do not be afraid"? Because what God was asking him to do was terrifying, right? The initial legal righteousness, which said divorce Mary, is now superseded by a higher requirement: keep Mary, based on divine revelation. Make no mistake, this command required Joseph to commit reputation suicide. To obey God, he had to accept the social stigma of marrying a pregnant woman. He had to endure the stain on his character for the rest of his life. He had to sacrifice some of his pride and completely let go of the narrative of how his life was supposed to look. The angel's command demands obedience, not understanding. This is where Joseph's good plan clashed with God's will. And now Joseph is hearing the angel's words to trust and obey God's plan instead. The German theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer famously said, "Only he who believes is obedient. And only he who is obedient believes." You cannot separate the two. We often say, "Lord, show me the plan, and then I'll say yes." But God says, "Say yes first, and then I'll show you the plan." As Pastor Timothy Keller once does, if you only obey God's word when it seems reasonable or profitable to you, that is not really obedience at all. I believe real obedience happens when it costs you something. So the dream ends. Joseph wakes up. And what does he do? Let's read the final verses, Matthew chapter 1, verse 24 to 25. It says, "When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. But he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born. And Joseph named him Jesus." How does Joseph respond to this life-altering command? Do you think he argued? No. Does he ask for a plan B? Like me? No. In fact, he doesn't speak at all. He simply wakes up and acts. I believe Joseph's surrender resulted in three transformative acts. The first one is that he took Mary as his wife. He accepted the social stigma immediately. He stood beside her when the world would have abandoned her. He took Mary as his wife. Number two, he secured the virgin birth. The text says he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born. By exercising self-control, he safeguarded the miracle of the incarnation. He secured the virgin birth. Number three, he legally named the child. This is very crucial. By naming the baby, he legally adopted Jesus into the line of David, fulfilling the ancient prophecies. Joseph demonstrates true stewardship, the humble act of nurturing a plan greater than himself. He shows us that true righteousness is not about following rules perfectly, but about radical submission to God's disruptive will. But I think here's the big question. Why? Why does Joseph do this? Have you ever thought about that? Why does Joseph accept this? What is the reward for this silent suffering and loss of reputation? I believe what Joseph found was joy. The reward he found is joy. But it's not a cheap emotion. It is a joy rooted in the identity of the child he raised. The angel gave Joseph two names that anchor our joy. What is the first name? Jesus. In Aram is Yeshua, which means Yahweh saves. This is the mission. This is the salvation from sin. And second name is Emmanuel, which means God with us. This is the nature of our reality. This joy is a divine disruption of the ordinary. It persists in spite of the temporary negative situation because it is rooted in the fact that God is actually here. I believe Matthew frames his entire gospel with this promise. It begins here with God with us in chapter 1, verse 23, and it ends in chapter 28, verse 20, with Jesus saying, I'm with you always, Emmanuel. I think now we know that Joseph traded his predictable comfort for the divine disruption of God's presence. He gave up his small, safe life to be part of God's giant redemptive story. So as I conclude today's sermon, I'd like to challenge you with these three things as we head toward Christmas. First one is this. Stop seeking validation. We are so tired. Maybe I am so tired, aren't we? We are exhausted from trying to impress people. Surrender the exhausting pursuit of man's praise and embrace the vocation of hiddenness, just like Joseph. Do the right thing, even if no one applauds. Number two, stop analyzing. I'm the one who everything comes to my life and then I'm just starting analyzing. So I think this is because I have an engineering degree, so that's... Agree? No? We can think ourselves into disobedience. When God speaks, please don't delay. Trust that his will supersedes your prudence. If God is nudging you to forgive, to give, or to move, do not wait for it to make sense on paper. Finally, become a sign of Emmanuel. In a disoriented world, we are called to be signs of Emmanuel, quiet but visible reminders that God is with us. So let us leave the noise of the world this week. Let us enter the silence of obedience, for it is there in the shadows with Jesus that we find the light of true joy. Amen. Amen. And today I'd like to conclude the sermon with a slightly different twist. I'll present... I can see your eyes. I'll present a fictional conversation between Joseph and Mary, not recorded in the Bible. So you might ask me, how did you know? I want to say, God let me know, but thought about it. And we'll listen together this morning. Please keep in mind that this fictional conversation based on the Gospels of Matthew and Luke reflects the personalities of the two characters. I hope this conversation will provide an opportunity for you to reflect on the lives of Mary, whom we meditated on last week, and Joseph, whom we learn about today. So, I'd like to introduce you to Doug Crowe and Kristen Bujan, who will read this conversation for us this morning. They are not husband and wife, but still. Would you come over here, Kristen? Yep, your seat is here. And then I want to let you know before we start, they didn't do the rehearsal. This is really very first time they do. Would you welcome?
Check.
Joseph, do you have a moment? There's something I must speak to you about. Something difficult to understand.
For you, Mary, always. You look pale. Is everything well with your family?
Oh, my family is well, but my life. Joseph, my life has changed, and yours will too, if you have ears to hear. An angel of the Lord appeared to me, Gabriel.
An angel. Mary, these are strange times. Visions are rare. Are you certain it wasn't a dream?
Oh, it was no dream. He spoke clearly. He told me, I have found favor with God. He said, I will conceive in my womb and bear a son. And I shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High.
Conceive. Mary, we have kept the covenant. How can this be?
I asked him that same question. I said, how will this be since I am a virgin? And he answered me, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will become holy, the Son of God.
The Holy Spirit. Mary, do you know what the law says? Do you know what the village will say? A child without a father.
He has a father, Joseph. The Lord God will give him to the throne of his father, David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever.
But I am not the father. That is what you are saying. You are asking me to believe a miracle that has never happened since the dawn of creation.
For nothing will be impossible with God. That is what the angel said. Even my relative Elizabeth has conceived in her old age.
I cannot expose you to shame, Mary. I am just a man. I will not have you stoned. But I do not know how I can walk this path with you. I need time. I need to think.
I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to his word, and I will pray that he speaks to you too.
Mary, Mary! Mary!
Joseph, you are here early. Have you made your decision?
I have, but not the one I made last night. Mary, forgive me. Forgive my hardness of heart.
What has happened?
I was afraid. I was going to put you away silently to spare us both the ruin. But last night, while I slept, An angel of the Lord appeared to me in a dream.
He came to you?
He said, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit.
He told you? He confirmed it too?
He did. And he gave me a command, Mary, a specific command. He said, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.
Jesus. Jesus. The Lord saves. That is the same name Gabriel gave to me.
Then it is settled. This child fulfills what the Lord spoke by the prophet Isaiah. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel.
God with us.
Yes, God is with us, Mary. I do not know how we will survive the whispers of the town, or the census that is coming, or the threats of Herod. But I know I am called to be his father on this earth. I will take you as my wife. I will name him. I will protect him.
You are the son of David. It is through you that he claims the promise.
And it is through you that he claims our humanity. Come, we have much to prepare. We do not walk this walk alone.